thought. And I want to talk to you this morning about the God of all grace. The God of all grace. It says in verse number 10 there, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." These people that he's writing to, these first century Christians, they were having a struggle. They were having some persecutions and suffering. And so God is giving them some help here. He's called God the God of all grace. So we won't talk about that this morning. Let us pray. Father, we've come to your throne of grace, and we thank you, God, for your goodness and kindness toward us. Father, we pray, God, thank you for watching over us for another week and being merciful to us. And I pray the Spirit of God would help us this morning. I pray that you'd enlighten us and build us up in the faith. And may we be edified and bless your people, God. And I pray that you alone, God, would take these things and put them in the hearts of your people, God, and apply them to their hearts and help them. Help me to preach this morning, Spirit of God. I love you and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The God of all grace. As the Apostle Peter closes the writing of this first book, he calls God the God of all grace. And that is that God has all the grace that all of us need, that any of us need. All that we will ever need, he has it, because he is the God of all grace. God has grace for every situation in life, everything that you will ever face, everything that you will ever come up against, every problem that you might ever have, God has grace for that. In other words, God has help for you. For every situation in life, God has some grace for you, if we look for it and if we'll find it. So he has grace for every situation. He has grace from the beginning in the Bible, the first book in the Bible of Genesis, to the last book in the Bible, there is grace. The last verse in the Bible is Revelation 22:21, and it says there, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." So he ends up with grace. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." He has it in the first book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6, talking about Noah, you see. So if it were not for grace, none of us would be here. I know I would not be here if it were not for the grace of God. God's grace is this. God's grace is his goodness toward his creation. I'm a creationist. I believe in God. I don't believe in evolution in any form. Nothing evolves. I believe that God created everything. He created man. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, it says, "God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." In chapter number 1, he created all things. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. First day, second day, third day, sun, moon, stars, all of that. Evolution makes no sense. It's a religion. But there are people that is their religion. But the grace of God is God's goodness towards his creation, the things that he has created. It is his willingness, the grace of God, is his willingness to forgive sin and to overlook faults and failures. Do you have any of those? Do you have any sin? Do you have any faults? And do you have any failures? It is his willingness, the grace of God, is his willingness to overlook those things, to forgive us of our sins and to make a way for us, you see, and even to use us even after we have sinned. If we humble ourselves and if we'll turn to him, then it is his willingness to forgive us, and that is God's grace. It is said in the Bible about Jesus Christ as he was growing up. You know, we have a few verses there about the time that Jesus was growing up. When he was 12 years old and before he was 12 years old, the Bible says this in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 40, it says this, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom." And it says, "And the grace of God was upon him." The grace of God was upon him. There it talks about his spirit and his soul and his body. His body grew and he waxed strong in spirit and he was filled with wisdom. Body, soul, and spirit. And the Bible says there that the grace of God was upon him. In other words, God's hand was upon him because God was pleased with what he was doing. This is when he's a child. What, you know, before he's 12 years old, that's when he was a child. The hand of God was upon him because God was pleased with his son even then, whenever he was a child. So see, that leads me to believe that the hand of God, the grace of God, can be upon you. It can be upon us, you see. If it was upon Jesus, it is possible for the grace of God, God's hand, to be upon you, see, if you want that and if you'll seek after it. And that's what it says about Jesus. It is said about a man by the name of Noah in the book of Genesis. It is said about him that before the flood in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8, the very first time the word grace is used in the Bible, it's used about a man by the name of Noah. Noah, the one who built the ark. And it says there that when the whole world was going away from God, there's one man in the world, one man out of millions of people. There were millions of people on the earth before the flood. And out of all those millions of people, possibly a couple of hundred million before the flood, and out of all those millions of people, they're going away from God. And the Bible says there that the earth was filled with violence in those days. And they had left God's way. But yet God looked down and there's one man. And the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, you see. That leads me to believe that if Noah found grace, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That leads me to believe that he looked for it and he searched for it. He found out that God was a good God, that God was a gracious God. And so therefore Noah was the one who was spared through the flood, 8 people in the ark, and God used him to build an ark. He had to work on that ark for over 100 years. He worked on an ark. Can you imagine that? That he had to stay faithful with people against him, round about him, making fun of him, him and his family, his 3 sons, building an ark. For over 100 years, he works on the ark, having to stay faithful. But he built the ark. He went into the ark, and God shut the door on the ark. And he and his family, 8 people, were saved through the flood there, you see. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He looked for it. He searched for it. He found out that God was a merciful and kind God during all of that time, you see. He looked for it, searched for it. In his situation, he found the grace of God. And the next verse, after it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, it says that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. No wonder the grace of God. No wonder he found the grace of God. The Bible says he walked with God. He walked with God. The Bible says about a man by the name of Enoch in Genesis chapter number 5, verse 22, 23, 24, and 25, that Enoch walked with God. He was before the flood too sometime. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him up without him ever dying. He's a picture of the rapture. He's a picture of Christians who will be taken out of this world before the great tribulation. You know, the flood is a picture of the tribulation period. The flood that destroyed the earth, that's a picture. That's a picture. It's a type of the great tribulation. And Christians will be taken out of that. We don't have to go through the tribulation period, you see. But, I mean, unless you want to. Does anybody want to go through the tribulation period? You want to go through 3.5 years of, hell on earth? You want to go through that? That's not really hell, but it's like hell. The real hell is down there. But Enoch walked with God, and the Bible says he was not. One day he's walking with God, and God took him up. He never had to die. He went to work, and he never came home. His wife looked for him. She searched for him. His family looked for him. They searched for him. They never found him. God took him up. God said, look, your son, you're closer to heaven than you are to earth. Why don't you just come on up? And he went on up, you see. And so you can read about Enoch. You can read about him in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. You can read about him in the book of Jude, verse number 14 and 15. Enoch was the first prophet in the Bible. This is not even in my sermon. Enoch was he's the first prophet in the Bible who prophesied of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming. I mean, here's Enoch back there, 1,500 years after God created, or after God made the first man. 1,500 years after God made the first man, and he prophesies. How many years ago would that be? That would be 4,500 years ago. 4,500 years ago, there was a man by the name of Enoch who prophesied of the second coming of Jesus Christ, not the rapture. He didn't prophesy about that. He prophesied that Jesus Christ would come back down to the earth, that he would set up a kingdom, that he would destroy those who are against him. He prophesied. That's what kind of a book the Bible is. That's what kind of a book the Bible is. The Bible's not a funny book. The Bible's not a funny book like the Quran or something like that. The Bible is filled with prophecy. That's how you know the Bible is true, because of fulfilled prophecy. Enoch walked with God. But here's, get back to Noah. The Bible says about Noah that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. See, he looked for it. He searched for it. So, see, here's my point. Number one, I gave you Jesus, and the Bible says about Jesus Christ that the grace of God was upon him. And here's Noah, and he finds grace. He found it. He searched for it, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. My point is this, that you and I, if Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, we can find grace also. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, I hope you got it marked. You ought to have it marked. It says this. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." So that tells us if we'll go to the right place, if we'll go to the place where grace is dispensed, then we can find grace to help us in time of need. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." See, God's throne is a mighty throne up in heaven. And all you have to do is kneel down or close your eyes and say, "Oh God, I come to thee in the name of Jesus." And you are in the throne room of God. And he said there, "Let us come boldly to that throne, to the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy." We can get mercy there, and that we may find grace to help us in time of need. Whatever problem that you might have, whatever situation that you might face, God has some grace that he can dispense and that he can give you and help you in time of need. Do you ever have a time of need? Well, just about every day. Just about every day. And you can go to God and you can get some help. The grace of God can help you in your time of need, you see. You got to go to the place where grace is dispensed, where grace is given out. It's at his throne. It is a mighty throne up in heaven. I'll bet it's a scary throne. You know that verse in the Bible in Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 11, in John the Revelator, you know, John who wrote the book of Revelation, he said this. He said, "And I saw a great white throne." I saw a great white throne. You know what that is? That's the white throne judgment for the unsaved dead. For the unsaved, those people who died and were unsaved, there is a judgment for them. It's called the white throne judgment, the great white throne judgment. He said, "I saw a great white throne, and he that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." You know where it's at? It's in outer space. Outer space. Everything flees away, and there's nothing there but a great white throne, and there's somebody sitting upon it. And the Bible says his eyes are as a flame of fire, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ. He's the one who's sitting upon that throne. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And then all the people of all the ages who have died unsaved and lost, they line up in front of that throne, and they're given an opportunity to present their case. Why? Why should this God, Jesus Christ, who's sitting upon that throne, why should he not cast you back into hell? And they'll have to present their case. They have nobody to help them. They have someone against them. That's the devil. but they have no lawyer. They have no advocate. Like you have an advocate right now. Do you know that? 1 John 2:2. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I like that. He's my advocate. He stands up for me. He stands up for you. He pleads your case. He tells God, God, don't put them away because they've accepted me as their Savior. They've believed on me. And they're the child of God, see. He's your advocate. He stands up for you. Amen. You can find grace to help in your time of need. You have to go to the place where grace is given out. Given out. I'm giving you some things here by way of introduction. Another place, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles in the New Testament to the book of Acts, chapter number 11. The book of Acts, chapter number 11. We're talking about the God of all grace, who has grace for us. Here, the New Testament Christians. It is said of these New Testament Christians, let me give you this first and then I'll read the scripture, that when the disciples who had left Jerusalem and they had gone all over Judea and everywhere preaching the gospel, some of them went to Antioch, which is in Syria, and a lot of people were saved, and God sent a man by the name of Barnabas there to preach to them. And when Barnabas went there, the Bible says, when he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. So I want to read you some verses there. Look in verse number 19. I want to start in verse number 19 and read a little bit. Verse number 19 of Acts chapter number 11, it says, and they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch. And by the way, I think Antioch is still a town, but the name of it's changed just a little bit. It's in Syria where they're having all the trouble. I think it probably, right now it may be called Antakya, something like that. But it's still there. They went to Antioch preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. You didn't know a church had ears, did you? The ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Okay, so the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to go to Antioch and check this out. And there's a lot to that, which we don't have time to talk about, but it was because Gentiles were being saved. And these Jews, they didn't actually think Gentiles could be saved. But now then God is turning to the Gentiles, and they are going to be saved. So they send Barnabas over there. Here's what I want you to see in verse number 23. Who? Barnabas. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled together with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. First time the word Christian is used is right there in that verse. So you see, back up to verse number 23, what I wanted you to see is this. The grace of God can be seen upon a person. Whenever God is working in somebody's life, if a person today saw you, could they see the grace of God working in your life? See, I gave you three things. Number one, the grace of God was upon Jesus. It was upon him. Number two, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But here, the grace of God can be seen upon a person. If the grace of God cannot be seen today working in your life, if somebody looked at you and they were looking for it, probably in some time past, maybe it could. It ought to be going on all the time. I mean, I could go around in the church here, even today, we have a small crowd, but got a few people gone, and I could point out a few people. I won't do it, I guess, this morning because I don't want to, well, maybe I will. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to name a couple of people that I have seen. There's all of you. I could say this about all of you, but just forgive me for pointing out a couple. The grace of God, I have seen the grace of God working in their heart. One would be our friend over here, Brother John. Brother John, see? Brother John, I've seen the grace of God working in his heart. He got saved about 5 years ago. Sitting right over here. Well, he was sitting over here and then he went and talked. So I've seen the grace of God working in his heart. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but another one over here. Betty, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to call your name. I've seen the grace of God working in her heart, see. She's been coming for, I don't know, maybe not a year, but for a while. You see, you can see the grace of God working in people's hearts. All of you folks, I've seen the grace of God at different times working in your heart. That's God doing something in your heart, you see. That's God working in your life. And it ought to be that way all the time, but sometimes we just don't allow the grace of God to work in our hearts, you see. You can see the grace of God working in people's life if they're looking and if they're willing for the grace of God to work in their life. The grace of God is this. I'm going to give you three simple things about the grace of God. Number one, the grace of God is this. It is God loving the unlovely. Number two, the grace of God is God saving those who cannot save themselves. And number three, the grace of God is God lifting those who cannot lift themselves. Go back to the first thing. The grace of God is God loving the unlovely. You know what, folks? It's easy to love the lovely, isn't it? It's easy to love your children. You see, the little baby that was here this morning, or the little boy that was sitting beside me here, or other little children. It's easy to love them, your kids, your children. Can you remember when your kids, your children, they were little babies, and you know, you smelled the baby powder, and they were all, except for when they messed their diapers, you know. Otherwise, they were all clean except when they did that, you see. Or when they got in the commode or something and tore up toilet paper and did all kinds of things like. Otherwise, they're easy to love. You know, your husband, your wife, or other people and things like that. It's easy to love the lovely. But how about the unlovely? God loves the unlovely also. Jesus Christ came for those who are not lovely. He came for them too, see. He loves them, even if we don't. There's a group of people over in India. I never have been to India, but I knew a missionary who went over there one time. And there's a group of people over there. They're called the untouchables. The word untouchable means those who are oppressed. They're suppressed. And they are given all the lowest jobs. They are probably not allowed to own property. They sleep on the streets. They're called untouchables. You see, that's an example of some who are unlovely, you see. But you see, Jesus, God loves the unlovely, see. There's another illustration in the Bible in Ezekiel chapter number 16. It's found in about verse number 3 through 6. And it's God talking about His favored nation. His favored nation is called Israel. And He said, when I found you, you were like a baby in the field. You were like a baby that had been thrown out in the field, and your navel had not been cut, and you were covered with blood, and you were all dirty and messed up. And I came by, and I saw you in the field, and you were in your blood. Nobody took time to swaddle you, he says. I guess that means wrap them up in clothes. He said, I came by. You know that story in the Bible that I preached about not too long ago about Jesus of Nazareth, the blind man, blind Bartimaeus. Jesus of Nazareth walked by, passed by. Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And they stopped him. And I don't have time to, I'd like to preach on it again. But here, back to Ezekiel. God came by that baby. He's comparing Israel, His favored nation. He's comparing Israel to that baby out in the field, and he said, I came by and I saw you all in your blood, and blood and covered with dirt and filth and everything. And I said unto you, live. I said to you while you were in your blood, live. And that nation, became his favored people, the nation of Israel. Did you know that's what salvation is? Salvation is life. God came by my house one day and he said to me, live. And I began to live spiritually on the inside, you see. The grace of God is God loving the unlovely, those who others do not love. Number two, the grace of God is God saving those who cannot save themselves. None of us can save ourselves. We're hopeless and we're helpless. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot reach up to where God is. But God did it for us. He did it for us. God came down to the earth. We're all helpless. The goal is too high. Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. We all come up short. We all come up short. We cannot attain perfection. So the grace of God is God's Son giving His life for those who do not deserve it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 7, I believe it is, it says that any of us, peradventure, might die for a good man. Any of us might do that. We might die for a righteous man. If we got all worked up and we saw somebody that was about to die and we could save him by giving our life, then we might die for a good man. You've heard of people giving parts of their body so somebody else can live, maybe a kidney or different things like that, you know. So somebody else could have life, you see. People might do that. Peradventure, a man might die for a good man, or he might die for a righteous man. We might die and help them. But just think about God. God commendeth His love toward us. He died for the ungodly. That's why Jesus came. He died for the ungodly. Why would you do that? Would you die for the ungodly? Would you die for somebody maybe who murdered one of your family members? Would you do that? Would you die for him? Would you take his guilt and shame and would you take that away from him and put it on you and you die in his place? I probably wouldn't, you see. The grace of God is God saving those who cannot save themselves, making a way for them who had no other way, you see. That's the grace of God. The grace of God. He is the God of all grace. That's God loving those who are unlovely. Maybe God sees in them something that we don't see. He sees something in them. And last, God saving them who cannot save themselves. Let me give you the verse about grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, you see. You're saved by grace through faith. Did you know that faith activates the grace of God? Faith activates the grace of God. Whenever you get saved, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 and verse number 2, whenever you get saved, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't quote the next verse, so let me look it up. You don't have to look it up unless you want to. It's Romans 5 and verse 1 and 2. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse number 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith. See, you see, faith activates the grace of God. And after you get saved, you're standing in grace. It's available to you at all times. The grace of God, the goodness of God, see, it's available to you. It's available to us. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So the grace of God is God saving those who cannot save themselves. I got saved 48 years ago. And not one thing, folks, and not one thing that I could possibly do that could please God. I mean, I'm 24 years old when I get saved. I've been in the army. I've done all kinds of evil things. I have nothing to offer God. Not one thing. Nothing in my hand can I bring to God that would please Him. I couldn't say, God, if you'll save me, I'll start today and I'll do the best I can for the rest of my life. Number one, I'd be lying because I couldn't keep it. Number two, I could never get good enough. I could never get good enough. Did you know the grace of God? Number three is this. It is God lifting those who cannot lift themselves. I cannot lift myself out of the pit of sin. I can't do it. I couldn't even come to God. I love this song that I've been listening to the last couple of days. He came to me. I couldn't come to Him. He came down to me. God became a man. God became flesh, and He came down here to us when we couldn't come to Him. I couldn't go to Him. He's too high. I'm too low. He's too holy. I'm too sinful. He's too righteous. I'm too unrighteous. Heaven is too high. I'm down here on the earth. How can I get up there? God, I can't come to You. You're too far away. And so God came to us. God came to us. He came down in the form of a man, and He allowed wicked men to nail Him to a cross. And on the cross, God took your sins and laid it on Jesus. And Jesus bore your sins, and God punished Jesus in your place so He wouldn't have to punish you. He came to us. When we couldn't come to Him, God came to us. Why? Because of the grace of God. It's God lifting those who cannot lift Himself. See, you can find, God came to me. Number one, He came to me on the cross. Jesus came to us on the cross. But number two, He came to me like this. He came to me in the person of an old man with a cane, Brother Mayfield. He came to me in the person of an old man. An old man who was a soul winner came to my house. There's no telling who you might talk to if you would take your Christianity outside instead of hiding it in here like most of you do. Hiding your Christianity inside the walls, you see. But if you'll take it outside the walls and if you'll talk to people, there's no telling whom you might talk to, whom you might help. You see, take your Christianity outside. Anybody can be a Christian inside here, inside the walls, you see. But an old man came to my house. That's Jesus. That's God coming to me. I don't have time to I'd like to preach to you about the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, where the Good Samaritan went down in the ditch. But here, folks, you can find the grace of God if you'll look, if you'll come to the throne of grace where grace is dispensed, where grace is given out, you can find grace to help you in time of need. Grace is available for salvation. Grace is available for whatever, our problems and trials. And person is unsaved, they can be saved today. One of our great songs that we sing often is called Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's all about grace. Some guy wrote that, and I can't remember his name, but I think he was a slave trader. He was a slave trader way back in England a long time ago in the 1700s, and he got saved. And he wrote that song about amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And it's lasted all of these years. Christians, people all over the world sing Amazing Grace. Amen.